Welcome to the Shoot the Breeze podcast with your host Vinny, Rob and Nello. This podcast contains strong language throughout. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody and welcome to episode 88, Rob, did you say?
88.
Of the Shoot the Breeze podcast. Yeah, welcome.
Two fat, ladies.
80s, all the eights.
All the eights. Welcome everybody. Sorry for my absence last night. Family duties call, so but yeah, I'm back this week. And yeah, how's everybody doing? I listened to your podcast, lads, that you did.
Oh, yeah,
very funny, entertaining. You've managed to get by without me, so it's always nice
by
to see
you.
Skin
of our teeth.
We also managed to survive cancel culture as well, I think, by some choicely selected words.
Yo.
Members of the traveling community.
It was aching me to say really things, but I,
yeah,
that's actually.
So here, what's the update? Like, has there been any update at all on that front?
Not at all.
No,
not even a little bit.
So, but you reckon at least, I bet your neighbour is like cursing you because he's like, I fucking paid for a fucking thing to get rid of all this shit and this fucking dope next door throwing all this stuff into my fucking skip.
No, well, see, I only had, 10 foot cut off my trees and they put all the stuff into the chipper from my trees. So I went down on Saturday for about 4 or 5 hours and I just helped him scooch a load of his shit and a bit of mine. Well, all mine and then a bit of his, spread it out and put it up against the wall and all this kind of stuff. I was in ribbons after.
the only bit of manual labour that Nello has done in years.
Yeah.
It's
in a year, I haven't done that kind of manual labour.
Only a year.
Yeah,
because it was last the great spring of the last lockdown when everyone was doing loads of manual bits and pieces.
What happened was when I finished up in the last job, I was unsure about my future. And how did I cope with that? By doing loads of random work just to get my mind off the fact of impending doom.
Have you seen lads this week that apparently lockdown nostalgia is a thing now because people have been locked down for so long that they're actually reminiscing on past lockdowns and how great they were.
I'm only going to compare lockdowns when it comes to weather. Like if this April and May is anything like last April and May with the weather, I'm all gravy with that, lockdown or no lockdown, because that weather was fantastic.
Yeah.
And regardless of if the pubs are open or not, if we can be in people's back gardens, that's perfect,
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I'll compare it to. And in terms of nostalgia, whatever, oh yeah. As long as we get some more decent weather, then
yeah,
that'd probably be the only thing I'd be reminiscing or looking back on being like, I remember when the weather was class. But sure, that's an Irish thing, and we do that every summer,
Exactly.
Being I remember that summer 4 years ago when it was gorgeous. Yeah.
I was about to say that. Sometimes it's 3 summers ago, and you're just like, I remember that summer because we haven't had a good one since.
We would be quite an affectionate group of people. Everybody, whenever you see people, there's hugs. When you're leaving, there's more hugs. Everybody hugs all the time. I remember at the first lockdown, a couple of the lads were like, this is fucking lovely. I haven't seen anybody. Nobody's touching me. It's great. And my brother was saying, yeah, it's lovely not seeing people all the time. Just doing my own thing. And then he's like, now people rule them words. Because now it's taking a piss. They thought it'd be a month or two where they wouldn't have to deal with a lot of people.
Yeah. I saw there's loads of stickers around town. I spotted on my commute that said enjoy day 300 or day 287 of your 2 week lockdown.
Yeah. You went into that protest on Saturday, didn't you?
Me?
Yeah, you said to me that you were coming to that
the
protest.
The fuck would I be doing at that protest? I say, actually, you know what? Actually, I was in the market this week for a pair of earbuds. Like, I don't have an iPhone, so I wanted to get some kind of earbuds because in the office, it's okay to have them on, like, and it's just easier than having a set of headphones wired to a computer. And I wanted to treat myself. So I chose Saturday to do it because I was like, I'm off on a Saturday. I'm going to go to Jervis Street and go to fucking thing. And I totally forgot that fucking thing was on. And all the, so many roads were shut, like, and fucking, they just basically just boxed them all into Grafton Street, like.
And then upended.
So did you end up going anywhere near it, like, or did you just kind of turn your heels and get out of there, like?
I ended up going because I realized actually they weren't going to be wherever I was going because I was going to Jervis Street from here, which means I went like down past the, like just kind of just down the quays and then across. It was grand, like, but I noticed there was a shitload of people in town anyway. But then I'm assuming because this would have been like a few minutes after they all got run down Grafton Street, like, by the guards.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I don't know, like, it was kind of strange. There was a lot of people around. And it was weird seeing that many people just in general. It felt like a normal kind of Saturday in some parts of town. But I didn't go. Like, I know a couple of people that that were at it, and I know a few people that I saw videos from the front of it, like, and I don't, like, don't get me wrong, go and peacefully protest whatever the fuck you want. Obviously, you shouldn't be doing it because there's a pandemic for highly transmissible disease. But don't be roaring. Like, there was lads at the front of that thing absolutely just fucking roaring and spitting. Like, not spitting, like, intentionally spitting, but by roaring at them. Just, like, roaring and pointing at the faces of guards. How the guards didn't crack earlier is a fucking...
I think,
like,
there was people spitting as well. I'm pretty sure people were spitting on guards as well. I heard a report about that as well.
Because I seen a video from the front of it, and it's a fella that, like, that I know that has been in a bit of trouble with some kind of lockdown restrictions recently, and he was just doing an Instagram live from the front of it. But there was like four or five people at the front of it, like, whereas most people are actually just standing around being like, why can't you let us into Stephen's Green, whatever. But there was three or four lads just fucking roaring in a guard's face, and I was like, look, I've been in a position in customer service where you just get roared at. Like, it's not a fucking fun thing half the time, but this was aggressively, like, nearly face to face, shouting, pointing, and just, I was like, just disgusting shit. Just don't be at that shit. Like, so I was surprised the guards didn't actually do something a bit earlier, but I don't know. Like, your man with the firework was obviously a fucking moron.
Yeah, he got arrested, and I think there's a couple others as well, like, through videos that are posted on social media that were identified and stuff like that. But, like, the whole thing of, like, the guards not reacting, that's what they're trained to do. They're trained not to react when provoked. And I guess the only reason why they did provoke, why they did act, was because that somebody, like, fired a projectile, an incendiary device at a guard, and the guard went down. So then at that point, then you're like, right, okay, well, now, like, you're using aggression, so now we're gonna have to enforce the law.
I didn't understand the disbursement of it, like, the, by the way, if people, we always assume it's only people from Ireland listen to the podcast, but if you're listening, you wonder what we're talking about. There was a kind of anti-lockdown protest in Dublin City on Saturday, and one of the crowd fired a firework at a guard, and a police officer, and kind of all, like, not essentially all hell broke loose, but there was definitely a bit of, like, force, rightfully so, towards whoever fired that firework. But I couldn't understand in the video why the guards just literally bum rushed everybody and just start hitting anyone.
It's kind of hard to tell in that situation, if you put yourself in that situation. But if you feel like that you're under attack, and you don't know how many other, like, people are going to be firing stuff at you, suppose, like, you know, like, so
the incitement you've got to crowd, act, maybe.
Yeah, you're better to have a preemptive strike rather than sit there and take more abuse and take more potential damage. Yeah. Like, you know, you're better off preempting that and yeah. just nipping it in the bud. Like, you know, you can say that they were heavy handed at times, like with their batons out and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, that's all the guards have, like, you know, and there was no, it wasn't as if there was a line of riot police, like, you know, at the front line. It was guards that were on off bicycles, because I think what happened was, I don't think they really fully appreciated the size or the scale of what was going to happen. Now, there was probably, what would you say, maybe like 400 or 500 people there, like under 1,000, I would have thought, for definite.
It looked to me like, because I saw one angle of it, and there was people down, like by down towards the Gaiety and stuff, I think, and then there was also people on Grafton Street. So yeah. like it could have been, I don't know, like you've been on Grafton Street when it's packed doing the busk or whatever. I've been there for the busk. Like you could definitely over a few hundred people. If not,
I would have thought it'd be under 1,000 people for sure, like a couple of hundred people. Because even like as soon as the guard made their initial entry into the crowd, it moved pretty quick. Like
there was a lot of space. There was a lot of space. Yeah.
Yeah. So like if that place was jam packed, if 500-600 people, if the guard started pushing, there's no way that all the people at the front, they would have been able to apprehend the first two rows of whatever 30 or 40 people, like, you know.
Yeah.
But because everybody was able to run away, essentially, like, you know, so there's no way that the people at the front of it were able to, like, you know, so it got dispersed pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I suppose the guards, you can say like, oh, was it over force? Like were they being discretionary with their force or not? But no, I think they're well within the right to do it. Like I think everybody would there was breaking restrictions, like, you know, that have been put into place for our protection, like, you know. So people know it was anti-mask, anti-lockdown, anti-vaccine, all this sort of shit, like, you know, just
tin. Yeah, I think the problem with it, the big problem with it is that it's a rhetoric that's being pushed that too many people from too many different areas get pulled into, and then you're getting a selection of people that are like, you've got people that are there just to take a pop at the guards and love this shit anyway. You've got people there that are anti-vaccine, anti-lockdown. You've also got people, like, I know we probably know people that were there because their small business hasn't opened in 5 or 6 months or 7 months or whatever. So, like, you've got all these little weird bits of aggression meeting up that wouldn't normally meet up. So it's kind of a really unpredictable crowd, because you've got a few people that are probably saying, like, let's go out and show our kind of solidarity, but then you're also saying, lads, it's a fucking virus that you shouldn't be, if you're in any way responsible, and like you shouldn't be doing this anyway. But then that's
my point. Like I appreciate your point on saying that people that have had their businesses affected and stuff like that, but like my whole industry has been affected and stuff like that. Like
totally.
There wasn't any musicians there, like, you know, or like
going out marching, like.
Yeah, like, you know, like
Swan saw Jedward in there, no?
Like, so there's like I get that point, and I can appreciate that point, but at the same time, like you said, we're not meant to be congregating in large crowds. I get the whole thing of that it's people's right to protest and stuff like that. But at the same time, there is a global pandemic coming on where the strains that are in the country now are the strains that are much more easily transmissible. Infection rate is a lot quicker, a lot higher, like, you know, so it's got like, you got to weigh up, like, you know, with the benefit of like, right, okay, going into town where there could be potentially a couple of hundred people, maybe 1,000 people around. I'm going to be milling around. There's also going to be anti-mask people in there. So people not wearing masks, anti-vaccine people, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, totally.
So like, you got to be like, is this really the right time for me to go
so
in and
close.
Protest? Huh?
We're so close to vaccine time as well. Like we're getting,
I know, the vaccine is here. I know the rollout is a bit slow and the Irish government has been criticized for that, but is that due to like lack of supply and stuff like that. And I think over the next kind of couple of months, it will be ramped up and all that stuff. And I just think, yeah, the small business thing, I think you should probably just fucking sit tight and hold on, because you've got a couple more weeks to go.
Yeah.
Where this next lockdown is meant to end, or more restrictions are going to be eased, or what have you, like, you know, and then with the vaccine rollout, it's only going to be amped up, like, you know, as we get further on into the year, like, so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I see your points, but I don't agree with it. I think that there's, if business owners have like, they should take up other means than going into protest. Like,
yeah, you know? I'm not in any way, I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just saying, like, it's a strange gathering of,
oh yeah, yeah,
different people, yeah, that wouldn't meet in a normal place. So like, the unpredictability of it kind of steps up a gear, if that makes sense. You know, like, kind of,
yeah,
for the guards, like, you've got some people that, say for example, it was a small business owners and musicians marching. The guards maybe wouldn't be expecting violence, so they wouldn't have batons out and stuff. But like, it was such a weird mix of people that the guards were probably prepared for anything, really. Like, well, not prepared, but I mean, the guards that were on hand were ready to kind of, like, they it looked like it was bubbling from the moment it, like, was supposed to be peaceful. That's like, that's what I got from it. I was watching it on an Instagram live, and I was like, this looks like it's going to kick off. Because there's people that are already pushing the guards to a limit, that it's going to take one little thing. Now it ended up being a big thing, like firing a fucking firework at someone's face is no joke. Like,
no. Yeah.
And it just took that, and then it just all hell broke loose. Like, which,
well, what I don't understand is like the resources that they piled into that versus like this video that's going around on our social media where like this woman basically took, I don't know, 12 Garda cars on a wild goose chase from Ballymun to Bray and back again.
Yeah, I'd say more than 12 Garda cars. Fucking amount.
Yeah, and like, and I'm just like, what? Like, and then I just don't understand how they're divvying out the resources, or like they're being like, right, yeah, this one woman driving a car, like who apparently sped off from a checkpoint, like a Garda check, like a COVID checkpoint or something like that, sped off, that all of a sudden there's like, yeah, what, 12 or 15 like squad cars and armed support unit cars.
Oh my God.
Basically like traveling at a distance on like the motorway. And I'm just,
I
like,
didn't what? See this. I didn't see anything.
Look in our lad's WhatsApp group. There's a load of videos.
Oh, is there? Like, I missed it today. Yeah,
so it happened last night or something like that. But I'm just like, I don't understand number one how that was allowed to go on for as long as it did. She literally drove from Ballymun to Bray and back to Ballymun.
I can understand why they didn't try and ram her off the road on the M50, but as soon as she got,
you don't
locked,
have to ram her off the road. It's called a box maneuver. You get one car in front of her, two cars either side and one behind, and then you gradually just reduce the speed. She's going to either ram the car, but like, you'll be able to box her in and slow her down and come to a complete stop. Like,
but it's,
you've,
lads,
got 14 Garda cars. They,
we live,
stop the traffic on the M50. Like,
we live in a country like that. That's just made for. That's the most fucking Irish. It's like Benny Hill. Like, it should be playing over this stuff. Like, that's like, that doesn't even. I'm just. I need to see that. I can't wait to look at that video later on.
It makes me annoyed. Like, it annoys me, like,
just driving on the M50 with our hazards on.
Yeah, and like singing a song at the fucking window, like, I'm just like, oh God, you're a dope. Like,
I really hope though she sang.
She got like, so when eventually she gets to whatever, some part in Ballymun or whatever, and there was a Garda car in front of, like, basically blocking the road, so she stopped and she got out of the car and she got reefed to the ground, and I was fucking delighted. I was like, yes, that, absolutely, do her one. Like,
that guy was like, Goldberg giving her a spear.
Yeah, exactly. I was delighted. I was like, yeah, too right, get her on the ground, Muppet, like, you know. So yeah, she got absolutely reefed out of it. Like,
she's gonna get a nice amount of time for that.
Will she?
She got released already. Like, they had her on remand, and then she got released anyway for a court date, a later date. Like, you know, it's like,
so it's, she was driving She was outside of 5K, driving, dangerous driving, driving on her phone with her. She was live streaming out the window. Driving.
So 12 Garda car.
More than 12. It was like at least 12, probably 15.
Couldn't
stop. Put the phone in the see all the Garda cars. Follow her.
couldn't stop a woman like live streaming to Instagram with one hand and driving with the other. I'm assuming I've done that trip to Bray a couple of times. I filmed out there and I end up forgetting something. That's not fucking quick.
No.
That's like a 20, like 34 minute drive.
The mind boggles, Rob. The mind absolutely fucking boggles.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, what else we got in news? What are your thoughts on this whole Ireland going in with the UK and Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland to try and host the Football World Cup in 2030 or 2032 or something like that?
2030.
They've tried that before. That was supposed to be the Euros last year, wasn't it?
Euros.
They're World Cup now. To be honest, I'm happy with that. Imagine having that amount of people from all them different countries having the crack in Ireland. You'd have to take 3 or 4 weeks off work. It'd be unbelievable.
So
go on.
The number of teams is going up as well from 32 to 48 or something like that. Yeah. And then there's meant to be, I think I'm told there's going to be 90 odd games played. And one argument that I heard why that it is a possible goer, in terms of that we actually between Ireland and England and Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland actually stands a chance is because the World Cup before that is going to be held in the Americas as well. I know this coming World Cup is going to be held in America and Canada. Then there's one in Qatar, Saudi Arabia. And then the next one then is going to be, it's in the Americas as well. And they're saying the other people that are bidding for 2030 so far are it's not Peru. It's another kind of American. American
2026 is the United States, Canada, and Mexico.
Ooh.
That's what it is. Yeah. So 2026 is going to be in the States. Then the other people that are apparently have expressed interest in hosting 2030 are another kind of America, South America, kind of two or three countries going in together. So that's why people are like, they're not going to do them both over there.
Yeah. So what do we have to offer Thomond, Croker and Di Aviva?
Yeah.
I guess.
And then you'd have, what's the one up the north?
The Kingspan Stadium?
Maybe, yeah.
Is there, or what do Northern Ireland, where do Northern Ireland play?
I think it's the same place as the rugby, which is the Kingspan. So I don't know what their capacity is there.
And then
I don't know if they're because they're talking about adding in Porky Queeve and stuff like that, because that's just only got done up and all. But I think realistically, probably the only two stadia that are in Ireland that are
Northern Ireland play in Windsor Park.
That's the one, yeah.
So,
you have in
Wales, you have Cardiff, the Millennium, Swansea.
Yeah.
Then in Scotland, you have Ibrox, Parkhead, Hammond. And then England has fucking
loads. Wembley, everything.
There's plenty of stadiums to cover that. And all they'd have to do is, people like Air Aaron, Ryanair, Irish Ferries and all, they'd all just have to do deals for getting people across.
That's the thing. It would be good. Knowing the Irish hotels, they could really make a shit ton of cash. And for tourism and all is great as well. But they could really make a shit ton of cash if they don't try and price gouge. We're chatting way ahead. It's not even.
I think
the process is only it only kicks off in 2022. But yeah, like, just what's your opinion? Do you think it's a good thing? Good thing for Irish football? Good thing? Just,
I think, because it's an amazing thing.
Does that mean we get automatically qualified for it?
Well, I don't know about a five country thing though, or a four country bid. I don't know how that works.
But with 48 countries, Ireland should be getting into it.
With 48 England, countries,
Wales are the most likely to get in. Northern Ireland and us would be the ropey ones getting in.
With 48 countries though, the first round games will be absolute dog shit.
Doesn't matter. The World Cup.
It's more excuses to get pissed.
It would be so good. So much fun.
Yeah.
Hope that happens.
I have no issues whatsoever with that. Bring it on. We'll do our bit here at the Shoot the Breeze podcast to promote. We'll be part of the bid.
So we had some rugby on the weekend as well. Ireland are we won a game. It's been a while, but we won a game against Italy. Not exactly the best side. People are calling for Italy to be kicked out of the Six Nations because they're so bad. I think it's a bit kind of uncalled for. I think, yeah, Italy have always, they haven't won a game since 2015. So it's not exactly, it's a pretty damning indictment of the state of Italian rugby, but they do have some good players. Huh?
Try so hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They are a trier. Like, they are a trier nation. And I think, like, yeah, I don't think, yeah, we should be looking to kick Italy out of the Six Nations anytime soon, you know. Yes, at the moment they're kind of a bit of the whipping boys of the Six Nations, but I think they've got 93 points before they played Ireland. They had 93 points conceded against them in this Six Nations alone. So not great. But yeah, Ireland won a game. Not really tough opposition. Wales and Scotland then were the only other game, because the France and Scottish game was postponed because the French are riddled with COVID at the moment. So that game, the Scottish and French game, was postponed. So yeah, there was Wales and England, and Wales had a controversial win over England. There was a couple of tries there that are a bit suspect.
It's only Andre. One lads is that again into his head. I don't think it was that controversial, to be honest.
There was the first try. Was it Joubert's is the ref's name? Was chanted to Owen Farrell about an infringement of penalty that, and he asked Owen to go talk to the players and give them a warn, because the next time will be like a yellow card or something like that, you know. So the ref said that to Owen Farrell. Owen Farrell, as the captain, then was walking back to say that to the rest of the team, who pretty much all of them were standing like underneath the posts on their try line. And then there was a penalty awarded, but the Welsh just tapped it, took a quick penalty, crossfield kick, and scored a try in the corner. Like, well, pretty much 10 of the 15 players on the field were like in a huddle, basically, like, you know, being told. So Owen Farrell then was pleading the case that he wasn't given time to talk to his players, but the ref was insisting that he did give him enough time. But I didn't see it live, so I can't really tell. But that's kind of the gist of some of the English kind of upset, like, you know.
That's just how English feel. Like, right, that was done. Liverpool done a similar thing against Barcelona a couple of years ago, where Trent Alexander took a corner and the Barcelona players weren't paying attention. They were trying to organise themselves and he just smacked it and Origi tapped it in and nobody knew what was going on. But
yeah, I think the
referee and the other team are ready. It's on the other team to have the wits about them. They're all standing up and talking shit.
Yeah.
No, they just assumed they were going for the 3 points. That's all.
Well, yeah. Also, in terms of, like, in any other sport, I'd be like, that's fine. it's the game. But rugby seems is billed as this game where there's so much respect and all this kind of stuff that I feel like if the referee, and the referee did tell him, have a word with your players, but I don't know if he meant like, is that a thing in rugby? If the ref tells you to have a word, you have to have a word straight away, or is it just kind of like, you know, get the word out to the lads. That's it, lads. No more shite. Like,
it kind of depends. So, like, a lot of times there's a breakdown anyway, or like they are going to, like, the opposing team is going to either kick for the corner or kick 3 points for a penalty or something like that, or there's going to be a scrum or something. So normally there's kind of like a break in the game, like, you know, normally it's at a point where there is like whatever 20-30 seconds or something like that, or less, like 15 seconds, like, you know. And normally that is the case where like the captain will then immediately, and not necessarily yet, like kind of what you said, Rob, just kind of get it out there, like tell fucking two or three lads being like, right, you fucking know. And the thing is, like, half the time they don't actually, like, you know, it's not as if like he just kind of says, yeah, go talk to your players, like, and just let them know that, like, the next time. Yeah, so like one would feel like, oh yeah, he's fucking on them, like, you know. But that's kind of about it. Like, so there's not like, it's not as if they have to have a fucking sit down meeting and just be like, right, lads, he told me to talk to you, like, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it happened to England, so I'm cool with it. Like, and it was a great game. Like, it was a good game. It was good to see Wales stick it up to them, because Scotland also stuck it up to them. Like, you know, so it's kind of it's given me a bit of hope that that we could potentially it gave me a bit of hope that we, like, that they may not completely trounce us. They probably still will beat us, but I just don't. Just hopefully not as bad. Yeah, not as bad as what I thought it was. Like, people are also giving out about Wales because they've had the three games that they've won have all been kind of controversial, I suppose. Like, Scotland were down to 14 men. Ireland were down to 14 men. And people are saying now that the ref was pretty much in Wales' back pocket, like, for their win as well, like, you know. But like, Wales are a good side, like, you know, and they can only play what's in front of them, like, you know. And if other teams are making mistakes and getting penalised with getting players sent off, that's not Wales' fault. Like, you know, they're just playing the game that's in front of them, like, you know. And if they have a man advantage, then, like, they should use it to their advantage, like, you know, and they should take advantage of it.
That's
that's sports. And if they don't, then they're a bad team. But they're not a bad team because they're capitalizing and they're using the man advantage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, you could say that a couple of times where Ireland had, even in the Italy game, Ireland had a man advantage for 10 minutes for of a sin binning. Where we had, no, there was two. There was two yellow cards at the same time in the Ireland-Italy game. It was a double yellow card. And so Italy were down to 13 men and we didn't score a fucking point. And I was like, are you fucking serious? So that kind of, I don't know. I think we're like Ireland, we've got the win and all that, but it was against Italy, not the best side in the world. But if you can't convert having a two-man advantage
on a bad point, team,
I'm just like, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, maybe Ireland's rugby team is in a worse place than what we think it is.
Look, it'll all be okay, Vinny. Don't be worried. You'll get there.
It'll come out in the wash.
I worry a little bit.
I'm kind of worrying now as well, just kind of talking about it.
Yeah, talk yourself into a lot of stress.
I should have said fucking nothing, man.
Yeah, that was one of those days though, as well, where we were chatting because we jumped into a bit of war zone, and we were just saying that was one of those real days where we all would have been like fucking from the get go early day drinking, and it would have been one of those stumbling through, powering through sessions. So they're the days you kind of really miss.
Yeah, it is. It's true. Yeah, we were chatting. We were like, it was definitely a day that we potentially could have been in this house here having a barbecue, especially with the weather. It was a lovely day as well. We had barbecue and beers.
Yeah, we had to settle with a picnic in a park in town. I didn't complain. I was eating wine and cheese. I'm gracefully adjusting to this life, lads. Wine and cheese in a park on the south side of a Sunday. It was delicious.
You've changed, man. You've changed.
I have. I don't, for the better. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
next minute the beard is going to be shaved. He'll have a fucking comb over.
Well, I'm not far off a fucking comb over at the moment anyway, but the beard stays.
The polo shirts will be on now and the Ralph Lauren
Don't you worry about it.
The cord trousers.
Yeah, that's it. Damn right. You got to look the part.
Yeah.
Got to fit. You'll buy a fucking BMW next, I know it.
With what money?
Yeah.
I'm Southside living on fucking Northside wages. I guess that's a champagne life on seven up wages. I am.
Lemonade wages.
That's it. But I think we got to leave it there soon, I think.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Thank you all very much for stopping by and checking out this week's episode of the podcast. We really do appreciate all you guys tuning in every week and listening. If you do have any comments or suggestions or want to share your thoughts on the whole people protesting, anti-mask thing, anti-vaccine, whatever, anti-lockdown, please do send us an DM on Instagram or on Twitter, or you can send an email to theshootthebreezepodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And until next week, we will chat to you then. But look after yourself. Stay safe.
Wear a mask. Don't be a dick. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Job, lads. Just in time.